Last night as I lay sleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. Then methought my dream was changed, the streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the morn was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross appeared upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross appeared upon a lonely hill. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And once again the scene was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the timeless sea. The light of God was on the streets, the gates were opened wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon nor stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, sing for the night is far. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna forevermore.
Welcome to worship. You may be seated. Welcome to worship. In case you were wondering what Sunday this is, now you know. Palm Sunday. The Sunday when we remember the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, where he was recognized as king and then served as king upon a very different kind of throne, the cross, and then shown as king, risen from the dead. It's a holy week that we commence this day, and we're grateful for all of you to be here with us as together we raise our voices in praise to that King. Let's commence with a prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you reign on high, and that day long ago into Jerusalem you rode as King, and the people came out in throngs to greet you. They lifted up praises to you from the Psalms. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they shouted out to you, Hosanna. And they had not a clue what sort of king you would be. But you showed what king you are, the one who takes upon himself our sin and brokenness, indeed that of the whole world, and takes it to the cross and reigns there and dies there on our behalf. You are the King, Lord Jesus, that we celebrate this day. And we proclaim that you reign on high over the whole of this world, and that the salvation that you won on our behalf is finding its way and its expression in this world and in our lives. Your kingdom is coming. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we celebrate you this day, honoring you as our risen Savior and our King. Alleluia. Amen. Let's stand to sing. May be seated. I trust you remember the story that the very people who shouted Hosanna and greeted Jesus triumphantly as King, by the very next Friday, were calling for his life. Crucify him, they called. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, we give thanks that the one who rode into Jerusalem so long ago came as one mighty to save. We need saving. Our affections for you are hot and cold. One day shouting Hosanna, and though we as your followers would not say crucify him, our lives are such that they show our commitment set against your own. We fail in love. We abandon you at crucial moments. Our words and our lives deny that we know Jesus. We demonstrate every week the ample need we have for a Savior. And we give thanks, Lord Jesus, that your salvation is persistent and gracious, and that you, Father, are continually working the effect of Jesus' life and death into us. That your grace, having been given in Jesus, now is active in our lives, and that you are shaping us to his life, and that what you've begun you will bring to completion, so that no more one day we will be shouting Hosanna only to be followed by words unfaithful, but rather our lips and our lives would together call out the goodness and grace and glory of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We yield to you, we honor you, and we pray in the name of our Savior. Amen. Friends, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Absolutely and completely. We've been given a new start. And may he be praised. Now, children, come on down. Miss Karen Wild has a word for you. Actually, there's a chair here for her in the front and center, so you can gather right there in front of her seat.
Am I on? That's the hard part. Anyway, it was really good to watch all of you coming down the aisle today, waving the palm. And that's what the people in Jerusalem did as they watched Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And they thought that they were just going to be saved from their enemies. But God had a bigger plan, and Jesus knew what that plan was. That he was going to come and die for us so we could have eternal life with him. How many of you know John 3:16? Will you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is believing in Jesus and who he says he is. It's in getting to know him better and better, and it's to live with him forever. Now, when you ask Jesus into your heart, if you've asked Jesus into your heart, you now begin to live and walk with Jesus, and he begins to walk and live with you. We have a wonderful God, and he brings many things into our lives when we ask him into our heart. One of the things he gives us is his love. How many of you have ever experienced his love? I have. And what is his love? God is love. And he says, I love you, I love you, I love you. I will love you unconditionally. I will love you forever. How many of you would like that kind of love to walk with through life? Me too. Then he gives us his joy. As we walk with him, we live in his presence. And it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. How many of you want to be happier than happy? Me. Me too. He also brings us his peace, and his peace comes in knowing that he's always there. He says, I will never leave you. When you're scared or sad or happy, whatever you are, he is always there to be with you. He also will guide you. He guides you with his teachings, and it pleases him when we do what he asks us. In Jeremiah 33, it says, "Call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you marvelous and wonderful things that you could never figure out on your own." You think God can figure everything out? Because God knows everything. And last but not least, we have the privilege of talking to God anytime we want to talk to him. And we know he listens because he says, "Call to me and I will answer you." Okay, let's see if we can say these five things that I just talked. What are the wonderful things God gives us? He gives us his love. Can you say his love? He gives us his joy. He gives us his peace. He gives us his guidance. And we can talk to him anytime we want, and he's going to hear us. That's wonderful. Well, I have a little something to give you on the way out. It's just a remembrance of what we talked about, God's love today, okay? It's a magnet. You can put it on your refrigerator. But a magnet. But first, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you loved us so much that you were willing to die for us so that we might live with you in this life and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for all the wonderful things you give us as we walk through life with you, now and forever. Amen.
You know, someone said, "He who sings praise twice." And the recognition is that the good news is amplified and told in fuller fashion when it's sung than when it's simply spoken. And so on some Sundays, special Sundays, we tell the good news in song and not simply by speaking. Prepare to hear good news.
The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him.
Thank you. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. After he had washed their feet, he had put on his robe and had returned to the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them."
And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
Jesus called his disciples, and he was to suffer.
It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now, so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also taunted him.
Standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
Thank you.
When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At 3:00, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling for Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom.
Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was God's son."
Now, I could walk in here and say to you, God loves you, and that's true. But you just heard that love described in far fuller fashion. God loves you. He loves you enough that He sent His Son to the cross for you. And so you have opportunity now to step forward and receive that love. And if this is a day when for the first time or the first time in a long time that love is coming home to your heart, hope you'll make mention of that to me or one of those who after the service are in the front ready to pray. We would delight to pray with you about that step of faith. And if as a Christian person you would like to be joined with us as a follower of Jesus, make mention of that desire. We'll make a time to meet with you and receive you as a part of this congregation. Whether you're part of our congregation or not, I hope that next Sunday you'll come and join with us as we celebrate the triumph of the love that was described beautifully today. For the one who went to the cross also rose from the dead. And so we live in the victory of His love. Welcome to St. Giles. We're glad you're here. We extend special greetings to guests who are here. And we would ask that all of you would take one of those blue cards and sign it as the offering plate passes. Put it in the offering plate. Let us know that you've been here. This is Holy Week, and thus we're doing some different things this week. You'll see that rather than coming for dinner on Wednesday night, as usually we do, you're welcome to come on Thursday night instead. Because following that, on this Holy Week, we celebrate the Lord's Last Supper with His disciples. We'll have a service here at 7 p.m. on Thursday. So come as usual for dinner at 5:45. Be here for worship 7 p.m. And then on Friday, we are joining with our two sister churches, Christ Presbyterian and Community West Church. We'll be at Community West Church. You can see the directions there. They're in your worship guide. Out on Gayton Road. They'll be with us Thursday night. We'll go to be with them on Friday night and then gathered back here next Sunday for Easter celebration. We customarily have a flower cross, and we would welcome you next Sunday, presuming we have enough warm weather to get a few flowers out. Cut some flowers and bring them along with you to worship next Sunday, and as you arrive, you would be welcome to place those in the cross. We'll flower the cross and give a visual demonstration of the life that comes to us through the cross of Jesus. And after worship, we'll put it outside. You'll see in your worship guide again this week the flyer that describes some of the mission that we're engaged in, the global mission. We're honored to be partnered with a number of those who've gone in mission to particular places. You'll see their ministries described. This week and again next week, we would invite you to make a special offering that enables us to do what the name of the offering says, mission expansion. We use these funds to expand our mission in new directions during the year. And I would remind you that this is the season when people are most likely to receive a welcome to worship. That comes at Christmas and at Easter. Those who follow Jesus in a nominal sort of way, or those who are just seekers, don't really know Him. At this time of year, they're amazingly open to an invitation from you. So invite a friend along to worship next week. Go by and pick them up. Bring them along with you. And let them join us as we celebrate our risen Lord. We have opportunity to honor our Lord with tithes and offerings. Let's pray before we do. Father, we thank You for the gift of a Savior and for our lives given now in His service. We thank You for the privilege of bringing our all to Him. And we ask that You would use these tithes and offerings as a part of that life service to our Savior. Use these gifts to Your glory, We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think it's because of the nature of the music that we heard that we didn't do as we often do, namely break into applause when the choir has done something like this. So let's thank them for... Special thanks to them and all the extra practice they put in to prepare, and to Jeff and Ben and our narrators for telling the story in such a beautiful way. We have the privilege, as those loved by the Savior, of praying for the world that He loves. So would you join me now as we pray? Lord God, thank You for the high calling of joining Jesus, the one who intercedes for the world, with our own prayers of intercession. We thank You that we have sisters and brothers scattered around the globe, Your children that You have placed to serve You in places like Kazakhstan and Egypt, where they suffer considerable oppression and even violence for naming the name of Jesus. And we thank You for the privilege we have of supporting them in prayer. And so we do. Encourage them, Lord. Let their ministry bear much fruit for the kingdom. Let the witness of Jesus be lifted up and people drawn to Him. Break the powers of darkness in those places. Let Your people see Your mighty hand as You use them to Your glory and show Your love through them. We thank You for our city. We thank You for the high calling of serving Jesus in this particular place. We thank You that You're at work in Richmond, Virginia. Lord God, this very week we will celebrate the end of a war 150 years ago. Tens of thousands of our forebears died. Some dying to preserve a way of life that they believed in. Some dying to set people free who were enslaved. None of them understanding fully what that moment was about. Thank You, Lord, for the freedom won for those who had been enslaved. Thank You that now, decades later, that freedom is more fully formed. But, Lord, not completely formed. And so we pray that You would work through the events of this week to further racial reconciliation in our community, and that You would use us through our relationships to do the same. We pray that the witness of Your church is a place where people are drawn together as they come to Jesus, that that would be spread broadly through our city to Your glory. Each of us now, Lord, can name to You someone we know who doesn't know Your Son, a family member, a friend, someone who needs Jesus more than anything else. And in our hearts, we pray for each of them. We pray that You would draw them to Yourself. Lord, if You would use us, prompt us to have a part in that. We pray that the full good news of Easter and resurrection life could be known in the hearts of those who are grieving. We pray for Sarah Marsh and her family in a time of grief. Others, Lord God, are still mourning the loss of loved ones in weeks and months past. And we pray that You would bring comfort deep, deep within. Lord, there are many other needs. We name them to You in our hearts now. And we join in the prayer that Your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our Savior, in His wisdom, knowing that we have a hard time taking in the full extent of God's love for us, set for His disciples and for us a table so that we could not simply hear the good news of His love, we could hold it and taste it and be met by Jesus through such simple elements as bread and wine. And so he presents to us his life given for us and welcomes us to be nurtured thereby. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, every time we meet you at this table, you take your grace yet farther in our lives. And we come with particular needs today. We give thanks that you meet us in a way that engages us with your love and forgiveness and transformation. Lord, make that particular to each of us. We give thanks that we meet here the very mystery of your love, and that we never exhaust it. Rather, instead, always we're nourished and built up and blessed by these your gifts. So we come in trust. Meet us now. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "This is my body given for you. Do this remembering me." And in the same way, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sin. All of you drink of it." We thank God for his amazing gifts. And this is a week when our attention is turned to Jesus and his course to the cross. And so it's fitting that we would conclude our worship with singing about that cross. Let's stand to sing. Following worship, there'll be those in front who would be honored to pray with you about any need that's on your heart. And I would charge you to go forth knowing that the Lord knew what He was doing when He sent you to be the bearers of good news. That's not an accident. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.